Okay.
Friends, we have here with us Mr. Frankie Grande.
Hi, everybody. Yay! Oh my God, I'm so happy to be here.
And we can't wait to teach him our Joy song.
Okay.
Are you ready?
And yes. Listeners actually don't know the full Joy song yet either.
They've only heard the beginning of the Joy song.
Right.
The full song.
But considering we have such a talented, fabulous human being with us today.
Oh, stop.
We must have singing.
Okay. Are we just doing the one line or are we doing the full chorus?
I think we should do the full chorus.
Let's do it.
Now I have to remember it.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Remember that? Does anybody remember that?
Nope. Yeah, how does it start?
No, I don't. You put me on the spot. Like, literally, all I have is blankness. I can only think of the old song now.
You guys, I wish you were here watching this right now.
We'll teach him the one line because we don't remember. We don't remember the other song. So it obviously
wants to
be the one line.
We were so proud of this song. We actually recorded a music video.
We've written this entire song and we have the music video and it's going to drop this week.
Oh, we're dropping great. It with this podcast.
Oh my God, fantastic.
Okay. You actually are the launch of this.
Yay!
You're the launch of the Joy song.
Because what happened was when we thought about you, we thought about infusion of joy. You are joy personified and you live to like spread joy.
I do.
So
yes.
When we're like, Natalie said to me, she's like, I want to do a podcast called The Joy Garden.
I love that.
And I was like, do you know Frankie Grande wants to come be on our podcast? And we're like, well, that's The Joy Garden.
That's the Joy Garden.
So this is the first one
and
called The Joy Garden.
And you just did a flower.
Yeah, and I did. I just tweeted a flower.
Wow.
I walked in. Okay, this space is so beautiful and so welcoming, and it just makes me feel so joyful. So I walked in, and I was like, I want to tweet a flower.
Thank you.
And then I did. A sunflower, nonetheless, because it is quite a gray day out there.
Well, not in here.
And I feel like we are bringing all the sun in the world right now.
We are.
We're radiating.
That's right. We're creating a joy garden.
Yeah.
You guys are flowers, and we're in a joy garden.
Yay.
Oh, I love my life.
Okay, we're all holding hands and doing makeup.
Okay,
sing the song.
This is how it goes. It goes. Ready?
Yeah.
Life is for motherfucking joy.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, that's all
we can remember.
Okay, do it again.
Ready?
Life is for motherfucking joy.
There you go.
Harmony on the spot, bro.
Yes.
See, this is why you're who you are.
I love it. We need more, though.
We'll play the full music video after this. Listeners, I want you to know that at this very moment, Frankie just brought out the most bomb-ass makeup kit.
Yeah.
He opened up his palette of sparkles.
Yep.
There is an eyeline pencil coming out.
Yes, I'm using the Marc Jacobs amazing eyeliner. It's so good. It smudges great. It's like gives you that rock kind of eye, which I love, obviously. You know,
I love how you get in...
He gets in the waterline. He really goes for it.
That's called tight lining. I'm obsessed with it.
Oh.
And then this turned into a makeup tutorial on the fly just because literally I walked in and I was like, I want to like feel fierce and like myself and this, and I can't do that without mascara and eyeliner.
Those are the two things that I'm doing.
So we encouraged Frankie that while we introduce him to you and tell you all about him and who he is, that he can do his makeup and we'll all be in joy.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Seriously, I'm tight lining right now. It's so much fun.
I'm so impressed by your tight lining skills. Later I'm going to ask for a tutorial. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I know Frankie Grande because of the Broadway scene.
Yeah.
And I got the pleasure and the honor of having him come be a part of Rock of Ages.
Yes.
And in our closing cast, you were part of the cast that closed it out.
It was one of the most... First of all, I love Rock of Ages with all my heart, and I've loved it since it opened. I was there with the original cast. Like, I saw it open immediately. I was in the house the night that the movie rights were sold. I remember because everyone was losing their shit in the house, and everybody was like, we just sold the movie rights. I don't know who anybody was. It was probably Matt Weaver sitting next to me talking to me about the movie rights. I didn't know who he was, but it was so excited for everyone, and I saw it, like, maybe about 5 or 6 times with the original cast. And then I saw it again. I saw, like, First Replacement. And then so being a part of it was, like, the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I love it. And then getting to close it.
Yeah.
That show was nuts.
That
show. That was a good party. Like, that, oh, yeah, that closing that night party was a really good fun. Time.
All I know is I didn't get home till 5 a.m.
No, we did not.
I don't know. Do we leave until 5 a.m.?
I don't think we left until 5 a.m.
I remember my mom was my date. Yeah. It was so cute.
She looked amazing.
She looked beautiful, and she was, like, walking us around and just mm-hmm. being, like, so beaming for joy.
Beaming
because
for joy.
Of her son. Yeah. It was really nice. She was so proud. It was a good day. That was a good, great moment. I'll never forget that. Also, it was a over 3 hour show because people clapped so much.
So much. And like stand and cheered after numbers.
It was nuts.
And then all the curtain speeches.
Yep. Amazing. Amazing. It was so beautiful.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
I had the best time that night.
I really did feel like I don't need a funeral now. I had that night.
Yeah.
This is a fun story. When we were in Paris recently, it was my birthday, and we had one too many bottles of wine. And okay. I do mean bottles, not glasses.
Correct.
And we then Ready? Proceeded to lay on the floor of our area we were staying in and, like, crying, laughing, planning Kristen's funeral. And it is going to be very magical with glitter guns.
Yes.
So everyone's going to want to be there.
Oh, there's glitter guns at my funeral, and there is Natalie singing Celine Dion. I don't want to give too much.
That.
I don't want to give too much away.
I think maybe Frankie should... sing Celine Dion.
I do
in
love
my stead.
I want
Celine
Frankie
Dion.
To descend on a unicorn with
yes.
rainbow wings at my funeral.
I will be there.
I'm designing your costume before I go.
Yes. I'm alive. What if I sang I'm Alive at your funeral?
Yo,
that would be interesting.
Oh, that's
because you
that's
are.
I think that's actually how it opens.
Yes.
You're the opening act. You're the closing act.
Oh, man.
Yes. That's right.
How you doing tonight? Everybody, how about over there? How about you over there? Okay, great. Let's go.
That's what we're doing.
Okay, so...
look at these lashes,
but
by the
your
way.
Lashes
oh,
are
your
great.
Lashes are amazing.
I saw you do...
There's a three-step process.
Yeah, there was
yeah.
clear gel, uh-huh. and then there was a mascara afterwards.
I mean, like, look. Okay, now I feel great. We can stop.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just, it's
You're
totally
awake
different.
Now.
I look like I'm awake.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
I look
right.
like I feel like I'm awake.
Yeah.
Some of which is
now
true.
The joy garden has begun.
Yes, exactly.
Because you, you need to do all the things that make you joyful.
Every
exactly.
last one.
I love makeup so much, you guys.
When did
I
your
really
obsession
do.
With makeup begin?
So I was in Mamma Mia, and I was next to my dear friend Isaac Calpito, and you know, and so his husband is Christopher Buckle, who's like the most famous makeup artist on the planet. And so Isaac was sitting there, and I was like, oh, they told me no makeup for the stage. And Isaac literally looked at me and was like, sweetie, you're wearing makeup. And then he taught me how to, like, put the concealer under my eyes to make me look like I'm not an Italian boy with really dark circles under my eyes. And I slept, and then, which are all lies. And then I slowly became really obsessed. And then doing Style Code Live over the past year and a half, doing my TV show, I just, like, really learned about makeup and what it can do. And I was like, this is magic.
Yes.
Like, this is magic. And it's also so beautiful and so fulfilling. Like, I get to be, like, an artist every day and paint my face. So cool. Yeah. So I'm learning how to, you know, I'm learning what, like, days on and days off are. You know, like, yesterday I didn't wear makeup at all,
mm-hmm.
which was, like, very atypical of me, and I was like, I'm gonna, like, do this every once in a while and, like, give my skin a break. But I love when I'm out to be wearing makeup, like, all the time.
Has the process of falling in love with makeup allowed you to fall more in love with your own face and what you look like?
Yeah, it has. Also, like, I always say that makeup is an outward personification of my inner self.
Yes.
So, like, seeing, like, the glitter and the joy and the highlighter, like, that you can actually, like, visibly see on the outside of me, like, is a reflection of what I'm feeling on the inside. You know?
Well, when you and I were having tea the other day at Alice's Teacup, and
best,
we were, like,
best.
In our joy with all the glitter, and we got to wear fairy wings.
So great.
And next time you have to come.
Yes.
And we pulled Divine Feminine cards.
Yes, you did.
So good.
Yes.
They were on point.
They were amazing.
Mermaids and dolphins?
No, they were called the Divine Feminine.
Yeah, women.
Oh.
Like Madonna of Roses.
I got Madonna of Roses.
Yes, you did. Madonna of Roses.
Mm-hmm.
We got Soul Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got, well, mine
Rockstar.
Was Rockstar, of course it was.
That the Mother of Roses and Rockstar feels really right.
Yes,
to
exactly.
Doesn't
that
too?
Doesn't
that right?
It was really.
Yeah. But you and I started talking about your spiritual journey.
Mm.
And I was wondering if you would share how that occurred, because we were very young when it started.
Yeah, it was. So, like, I was raised Roman Catholic, and that was all sorts of confusing. That was all sorts of, like, I don't understand what I'm doing. I liked to sing the harmonies in church. that was what I got out of being raised Roman Catholic. It was like, oh, cool. I can sing, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Harmony, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Like, I would just make up harmonies the whole time I was in church. That's basically all I did. And then, so around 13 years old, Madonna released Ray of Light, which changed many people's lives, starting with me. And I was like, what is she singing about? What is this magic? What is this ray? What are these rays of light? Why is she chanting? Like, what's going on? So I, you know, looked it up and it was the Kabbalah. And I was like, sounds cool. I'm going to go look it up. And I was in Boca Raton at the time, 13 years old. And the Kabbalah Center had just broke ground in Boca. So there was no building there, but there was a trailer next to the building. So I went to this trailer and I started getting tutored by a rabbi in Kabbalah and absolutely fell in love with it. It just, it took all of the, political rhetoric and all the stories and the weird things that I never understood about Roman Catholicism and stripped it down to the lessons. It's really just the lessons that you learn. It's the cliff notes to the Torah, which is the first chapters of the Bible, the old, you know, Old Testament. And you just get the cliff notes of what you should have learned in all of those pages, which is like, oh, duh, just give me that. Mm. You know, I don't need to read the whole, everything else. And John and Jacob and Mary and, I don't know, the only reason I know any of those names is because Jesus Christ Superstar just aired. Peter, Sam, I don't know why I know the apostles' names. Oh, because I just watched Jesus Christ Superstar. Yep. That's why.
And you kind of summarized for me the philosophy of Kabbalah. Ooh. And it lit me on fire. I was like, yes, that's everything I believe.
Yeah, so the basically what the Kabbalah strips it down to is that there is an all-powerful light, and that is the universe, that is God, that is however you would like to see the light. We call it the light. And the light is all-giving. It can only give. It has no other power but to just radiate out into the universe. Us, humans, what we are on this planet are vessels. So we are like empty chalices that are able to draw upon the light to fill ourselves up. But once we're full, an interesting thing happens, and this is actually really cool. So the first vessel ever that was on the planet was filled, and then at that point, you can't do anything with your amount of light. You can't give back to the Creator because the Creator is pure light. So if you try to give back to Him, it doesn't work. And there was no one else to give to. So in that moment, something called the bread of shame was created because you were filled up but couldn't do anything with it. And then the Kabbalah teaches that that's where the Big Bang happened. And that's when the world was exploded and became vast and wide and filled with other vessels so that you could fill another person's vessel. And that's how you continue to be fulfilled in life. So that's it. That's it. That's the purpose of life. Our purpose on life, in life, like this is the answer to why we are here, is to draw from the Creator in order to give to another. Period. This thing is so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
And it's so radiates so true. It's simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple. We're here to fill ourselves up in order to fill another person up. That's it.
Well, and I also love that you can't possibly have something to give if you are not filled up.
No.
And that the other person is not the source of where you get filled up from. You get filled up
from that's it.
Pure consciousness, from love, from divine, yes. From whatever you see that as, so that your partners are not responsible for filling you up. You're here to give to them, mm-hmm. and you're here to receive from your ultimate creative force, your exactly. ultimate light.
And that is creation. Like,
yeah, that was creation right there.
Like, we are here to give our gifts on the planet. Like, we're here to get filled up with light and take it into our creativity and give it away to others. And yeah. We're not here to, like, to get stuff back for giving our gifts, you know? We're not, you know, we are not here for
That's it.
Any other reason. We are here just to give our creativity in abundance and go back to the light, let it fill us up, and then give it again. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how it lands on someone. It doesn't matter if someone doesn't want what we have to give.
Mm-hmm.
We're just
or judges it or rejects it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or writes a really nasty review about it. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Or puts up comments on, you know, online. Sure. It doesn't matter.
It's like the Bhagavad Gita, which is a Eastern text, and it talks about you're entitled to your actions, you're not entitled to the fruits of your actions. So it's about the purity 100%. Of what you're offering, not having anything come back from it.
100%. Woo. And that's the Kabbalah also teaches that, like, so drawing from the light with the intention to give to another is good, and drawing from the light with the intention to fulfill yourself is evil. Like, that's how the Kabbalah defines evil.
Say that one more time.
So drawing from the light in order to give to another is good, and drawing from the light in order to fulfill yourself solely is evil. Like, that is how evil is defined.
Wow.
So, like, you're never so, like, even when you're sick, the Kabbalah teaches you to pray for someone who is sick. Mm-hmm. Like, so when you're ill, you ask for the light in order to heal someone else, and that will heal you. It will do it. You'll get the kickback. But never to ask, just please heal me, please heal me, please. It's please heal another.
Because it's a community universe. It's not about the one. Mm-hmm. It is about the whole.
Yeah. That reminds me of like a Tonglin meditation. When you breathe in someone else's pain and you breathe out light.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's a healing process on yourself.
Yeah, it does. It heals you through the act of you trying to help another. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and it also reminds me of the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi.
It is St. Francis' prayer, yeah. Where there's dark, let me bring light.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where there is sadness, let me bring joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ask not to be...
understood, but to understand.
To understand. Yeah. Ask not to be loved, but to love another. Like, yeah.
Yoga has this word called asteya. Sanskrit word, and it means like non-stealing, non-hoarding. And so what it talks about is that even when you're trying to monopolize a conversation, it's too about you, and it's too about you taking from the energy of the space that's supposed to be communal. Mm-hmm. And so anytime you're in that energy where you're trying to steal someone's recognition, or you're jealous of someone, or you want more for you, it's like the energy's coming into you, then you basically get out of what yoga calls like the ethics of your path.
Wow.
Ooh,
I
preach.
Love it.
I'm gonna throw something.
It's so amazing. Like, you know, it was really cool to have studied Kabbalah so young, because like I see where it influenced so many other things, and or just where so many other spiritualities have landed on the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
they
speak about it in different ways, sure, but like it's really all preaching the same thing.
It's all a path to the same light.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And I feel like it just got so muddied at some points, you know, and like it's really much more simple than everybody needs to make it. Like, it's not rocket science. It's like, help somebody else. Bye.
Well, and I think that you having that perspective must be congruent with, like, the level of big life and big success you can hold. Because I don't think it's possible to, like, hold so much energy if you're not really constantly in a practice of feeling so grounded in yourself, in your belief systems, in what your inner truth is, and feeling, like, congruent with yourself and your authenticity.
That's really... amazing that you say that and touch on that, because it's something that like of recently, like I've understood I had to get back to. So basically I built everything that I am, like doing exactly what you just said, being true to myself and like really understanding what the larger picture was, and like I have a ability to give to other people through this platform. And just saw, like somewhere in there, I guess like kind of within like the past year or so, like I forgot how to do it. Like it was just so hard. Like I had built this amazing Frankie persona and personality, and I stopped fueling it from the inside. And it was so weird, and I was so confused, and I didn't understand it. And then I basically just kind of had to like take a break, like shut everything down for a hot minute, and remember exactly that, and build myself up again, start drawing from the light again for other people. And I organically regrew into the Frankie that I always have been. But it was very weird because, like, I basically constructed this amazing person and then didn't have the fuel to sustain him, like, at all. It wasn't me. It was, like, this bigger, larger version of myself. And I just kept going, 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 so I couldn't even stop. And then I was forced to stop. I shut it down and then rebuilt myself. And it was after the Manchester tragedy with my family that I was, like, literally I had to just shut everything down and reexamine myself, build myself up from, like, ground zero. And it ended up getting me back to that beautiful place, which I am able to touch so many people.
Yeah.
So it was really, you know, I hate saying a blessing in disguise, but you know what I mean? Like, it allowed me to reset in a way that I didn't even realize was necessary.
Mm. Yeah, and I think so many of, like, our spiritual mentors or guides or gurus or people who really walk in a spiritual path, like even Mother Teresa talks about the moment when her charity work and her life got so big and she lost her faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of her maturation process of taking her spirituality to the next level, mm-hmm. because she got so big that her message got bigger. And yes. So then she had to go through that process. And it feels like if you look at the Gandhis, the Martin Luther Kings, the, you know, these are all ones that ended badly. There's many that end well. But there is this calling of as your life gets bigger, as your practices get bigger, we all assume life's going to be easier,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to keep hold of that thing. But keeping a hold of that thing is a practice.
Yes,
and the practice changes as your life expands.
Yes, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I love this, by the way. My God, I'm getting free therapy. I've definitely explored so much of this, but, like, that's so accurate. Thank you. Yeah.
Michael Beckwith talks about that he used to wake up in the middle of the night and scream, "I don't want to be the spiritual." You know, there was something that was breaking forth inside of him, and it was scary because he could almost watch his ego dismantling.
That's exactly right.
Right? And yes. We've all had times where if we didn't stop to do the inner work, all of a sudden something like a tragedy, and sometimes it's, it can be divorce, it can be sickness, it can be all sorts of things where life goes, all right, let's come back inside. Like, life continues to re-anchor us back inside to who we were as a kid.
Yeah.
Mm.
To who we always were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To, like, my truest self. Like, I can tell you right now, like, I am my truest self. I'm so connected with, you know, the light and the people around me.
Yeah.
And I'm really capable of pulling... my first thought every day is, like, how is my family? Like, how is, you know, how is my friend that just texted me last night and was in, like, a really bad thing? Like, I remember, like, for a while, like, I'd be like, oh, what's my day? Like, what am I doing today? What do I need to do? But immediately when I wake up, I think about others. And it's so beautiful and great. And reach out to people every morning. It's just, it's really cool to be connected.
Yeah.
I feel the connection of humanity in a way that, like, I have not felt in a long time.
Well, what I love about that is, I keep talking about yoga today, but it's just on my brain with this conversation, because I do think that the spiritual ties just seem so similar, is that they talk about us as Purusha, which is like our soul, the light inside of us that can't change, that can't die, you know? Mm. So we're in this body that's this other kind of thing, this vessel, and we are this beautiful light that shines from within. And it says that as we go through life, it's kind of like life throws mud on the light.
Yes.
And
oh,
so
God.
Then it's like the window gets muddy and then we no longer remember ourselves as light because all we are doing is like looking out and seeing the mud and then projecting the mud into the world instead of reflecting our light into the world. And so it talks about when we connect with others, it like polishes off the mud.
That's exactly the same thing. In the Kabbalah, we call it the curtain or the veil.
Mm.
And it just keeps going up every time we do, like, a negative deed or a negative act. And, like, it starts blocking out the light. And you do have to, like, force it out by doing a work for other people. And that's how you, like, kind of pull down the curtain, pull down the veil. And also it teaches, it's really cool, that there's seven realms up with the Sifro, which go from, you know, the creator to us on Earth. And there are different paths that the light can take in order to get to us. And if you have too many blockages in one of those paths, you shut it down. And so you can't receive light in that way, which is, it's very cool.
It's like the seven chakras.
Yeah.
Yes, no, it's exactly that. So if one of your chakras is blocked, you can't give in through in that chakra. You can't receive that way, and you can't give that way.
Wow.
So you need to clear everything in order to be able to receive and give. But, like, you know, if my throat chakra is blocked, then, you know, my communication device, like my gift of communicating is not open to me. And that's terrible. So you have to clear that out.
Gotta clear it.
The heart chakra, that's a good one.
The heart.
Sometimes the sex chakra.
Uh-huh.
That's the worst one.
We've all seen that. Yeah. We've all seen that.
I think mine is pretty clear at the moment.
I'm real proud of you.
I'm real proud of that
inner work, Frankie.
I am so ready.
Do you know what? Deep spiritual masters are very connected in that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes. And you can tell.
That's
can
connection.
Tell. Yes.
That is brave, intimate, authentic, primal, creative source.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. is what that is.
Oh, that's my God. Speaking of which, I met Jeff Goldblum the other day. He's the sexiest person on the planet.
Oh.
In that way. In that, like, I am connected, like, my, like, I cannot tell you, he's so suave. I know this is such a random tangent that we're going on, but, like, you said, like deep spiritual, like,
yeah.
sexual connection. He just gives that off. Like, I was like, he, like, held my head in his arms. It was the most amazing moment. I was like, I give myself to thee, Jeff Goldblum.
Do you know who I feel that way about unexpectedly was Robert Redford?
No,
I saw
yes.
him up at Sundance.
Yes.
I saw him at Sundance,
yes.
and I literally was like, you're 70 years old,
yeah.
and I am feeling all the
yep.
feelings. How do you do that at 70?
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't looking in my direction, was just radiating sex
yeah.
from the core of his humanity.
That's great. That's
and see, now we're all open.
Now we're
yeah,
all
we
open.
Are.
That's all it takes.
My chakras are open, so I must go. Also from Ray of Light.
Oh.
The spell has been broken, I have to know. Yeah, everyone revisit Ray of Light. No,
okay.
The whole album.
That's all we're going to do now.
I went to a yoga class, and they were like, does anyone know how to chant? And I was like, yes. Vande gurunam charanaravinde sandaharshita svatuma sukara vopte nishte ase yangale kale mani yangala sara sara huoha shantie hala hala ha agwa hupuru shankaram shankachikrasi agwa hupuru shankaram shankachikrasi. And they keep going, taharinam, taharinam, sastra hasra sirasam. Basically, it's a song on Ray of Light where she goes through the entire, like, yogic chant. And I know it. So I did that in class. And somebody was like, wow, that was amazing. How did you know that? And I was like, Madonna.
Best answer ever.
All roads lead to Madonna.
You're like, you know the ancient guru,
Madonna.
And also, like, how dare she put just a track on her album as a chant? Like, she's crazy. I love her so much for doing that. Because, like, you know, 96% of her fans did not look that up.
Uh-uh.
Like, there's probably, like, a handful of us that were like, what is this? I want to learn the whole chant.
Well,
crazy.
Talk about, like, doing action for action's sake.
Yeah, seriously.
Like deciding it's important for me to create that. And everyone
yes.
else can feel how they feel about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. We're back to that. Full circle.
Right.
Yes.
Doing it because
you want to do it.
Boom. Which is the only reason why we should ever give anything, right?
100%.
It's because we want to do it.
Yes.
That's pure giving.
And also, like, I have this argument with people all the time. Like, we talked about it the other day. The whole idea of, like, art is in the eye of the beholder. Like, you, when you create your art and people are talking about it in a negative way, or they're saying they don't understand it, that is not your business at all. Because you, the act of the creation is what you did. And then the way it's received is completely out of your control.
Mm.
So people that get, like, hung up in reviews. Listen, I used to read the YouTube comments like they mattered. And I say that with a lot of gravity because, like, they don't matter. Like, they don't matter. Once I create my baby and hit that post button, that's it. I've done my job. And then how it's received is, you know, completely up to the beholder. But as long as you're proud of what you've done, that's it. You know, and I used to.
Thank you for that.
Like, used to be so obsessed with comments and stuff, but you don't. That's not it. That's not it.
And you can only get so big if you're obsessed with trying to control everyone's responses.
Correct.
All the time.
That makes you
can,
small.
You can't control it.
No.
You literally, like, step on your own magnitude.
Yes.
To make sure everyone's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just say you step
on
your
own
magnitude?
work.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that some people don't even express because they're afraid of the comments.
Yes.
So the comments are have already, like, the idea of the possible
negative response
has already kept,
yes,
has already put the big foot stomp down on the magnitude.
Yep. Then that's not good.
That ain't good.
Mm-mm. Well, yeah, that ain't good.
That ain't good.
So we are here to talk to Frankie Grande about joy, because there's no way to be in a room with you and not smile and feel excited about life. I really do feel like even back in the Rock of Ages days when I would see you, there was just never a moment, whether it was backstage, on stage, walking to the theater, leaving the theater, wherever, there was never a moment where you weren't just having a great time.
Yeah.
And it was real, because it wasn't something that you put on like makeup. It was something that you just were. Mm. And it felt to me like it was just a space of joy for life.
I love life. Like, I love life. I love every second of life. And I'm so glad that that came through in that way. Because I really do genuinely just enjoy sharing my spirit with other people. Like, I really do. Every single day. Like, in Starbucks this morning, I literally was talking to everyone behind the counter like they were my best friends. Like, just, like, laughing and giggling.
We love to do that.
I love my Starbucks. It's my cheers.
Baristas are our favorite people.
Yes. I'm like, what's up, everybody? Good morning. Do we have blueberries today? Oh, I hope we do. Like, it's like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's just fun and everyone smiles, but it's completely motivated out of me just wanting to have a good time.
Yes.
With other people.
Yes.
That's it.
It's a party.
That is not fun unless it's community.
Unless it's shared.
Correct.
Unless it's shared.
Yes. Yeah.
I had a moment today when I walked in for coffee this morning, and I walked in and my favorite barista was behind the bar, and then my arms just shot up voluntarily, and I went, Joy! Joy! And she was like, come over here.
Is that really her name?
No. The joy was the feeling, yes, I felt when I saw her face.
Let's call her Joy.
Let's call her Joy. So Joy goes, get over here. And there was a huge long line, and so I came over. And she told me everything she's working on, everything she's creating. And she's like, and what kind of coffee do you want? And she just slipped me a free coffee.
That's amazing.
And but we had so much fun talking about creation.
Yeah.
Like, we started talking about, like, what we were both making and what we were both interested in. And it's just so fun to be in the world with other people turned on.
Alive.
Yeah. Aliveness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Frankie, what if you were going to define joy? What is joy for you?
For me, it's the feeling that I get when I am unapologetically presenting myself to the world. Just being, for me, is joy, and that is so much harder done than said. Mm-hmm. But when I'm just unapologetically myself in a situation where I'm connecting with other people, that's joy. That's the feeling of joy that I get. Mm. I don't know.
Kristen, what's joy for you?
Oh. Joy for me is the expression of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's because it takes, for me, like, that listening to your heart in the moment of there's something here that wants to express itself.
Mm-hmm.
And almost like there's the spirit in me that wants to entertain me, right?
Yes.
There's something in me that is like, I got something that's going to make you laugh. You know, like, so like, I'm the observer and I'm the little mischief maker inside. And both of them are having a conversation with each other.
I love that.
And joy comes in so many different forms. Because sometimes it does come in this, like, kind of like rambunctious or adventurous or Pippi Longstocking kind of,
bubbly.
Bubbliness. Yeah. And sometimes joy comes out of, like, this morning when I was walking to dance class and it was raining. And it was like, just how shiny the cobblestone streets in front of the Natural History Museum were. And the sky was kind of overcast. And I almost felt like I was in England walking down the street. And I just had this moment of this real peaceful joy, of a deep contentment. And a noticing of how beautiful the world was.
Mm.
It's like the joy that it, like, is next to awe and wonder.
Mm.
I love that. Also, the Hayden Planetarium made my heart jump when I went past it on the way here. It's my favorite place in New York City. I take everyone there.
That's right.
Yeah, the Scales of Life at Hayden Planetarium. Oh. It's amazing. If you haven't gone, go.
Anytime I hear, like, Neil deGrasse
Tyson.
Yeah.
This is best.
I'm enjoy.
This is the best. So your turn.
Joy. Natalie.
Oh, I feel like joy is expressing the inner wonder.
Mm.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Alice in Wonderland when she was reading the boring black and white book with her sister, and that mm-hmm. was, like, life. And then she sees this white rabbit, and she goes to this crazy place, and crazy things are happening. It feels to me like joy is the reverse, where Wonderland, like, comes out. It, like, spills outside, and then because it's spilling out of me, life reflects it. You know, so it's, like, this discovery
yep.
and curiosity of, like, where is this all? Like, what is this new thing? So it just feels like awe.
Wonderland yeah. is inside of you.
Yes, I love
Wonderland
that.
Is inside of all of us, waiting to be unleashed by our permission.
Yes.
That's right. And the creative process is when we tap in and let it unfold.
Yes.
Boom!
And by letting it unfold, you're realizing that we're all in Wonderland. Like,
yes.
every moment of every second of every day is actually really interesting.
Yes.
Like, I'm sitting in this unbelievable apartment, and if I could sit here and look and absorb, like, everything for 8 hours. And it would be so cool. And, let my imagination just go run nuts like I did when I was a kid. Like, it's still there. We still have that ability. And it was so cool because my Uber driver on the way here, I was talking about Ready Player One. Have either of you seen it?
Not yet. I'm dying
okay.
to see it.
It's fantastic and it's amazing. And I was talking to my Uber driver and I was like, hey, have you seen Ready Player One? And he was like, no. And he was like, but if someone, in order to make that film, they have to be on drugs. And I was like, no. I was like, I think for some people, in order to make that film, they would need drugs in order to open that lens. But I was like, for me, I see like that all the time. I look at the world through Wonderland
yeah.
without drugs.
Yeah.
Just being connected to the universe is my drug. Mm. That's my drug.
Well, nature is like a big drug.
Yeah.
You know, like the way nature unfolds, the way nature grows, the way a flower blooms, the way it is all going down out there. I mean, if we really want to stop and listen and look, like,
yeah,
it'll blow our minds. What is happening right now already?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much to be happy about. There's so much joy in the world. And it doesn't take away from the fact that there's real contrast. There's real suffering in
uh-huh.
people's lives. There may be people listening right now that are feeling like, well, that's a great idea in theory, but I'm dealing with this heavy moment or this heavy thing. And it's not to say that there's even separatism. It's like, yeah, we can hold one in each hand.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taught that when we're having a bad day, when we're in suffering, when a tragedy happens, we have to just put everything into that place. But there's something healthy in the opportunity to say, there's the part of me that is in that place, and there's the part of me that can still laugh unexpectedly and see something beautiful and still seek joy with my other open hand.
I feel like joy has always been the biggest gifts in times of huge tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when shit has gone down in my life where it's just, like, gnarly, like, it's joy that you become so grateful for. An
yeah.
unexpected joy,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, when I think of some of the, like, most intense, like, dealings with people passing, I also think about some of the times with the people that remained, when talking about the person who passed, we ended up laughing so hard we were crying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
There's some science that I'm going to totally butcher, but it's something along the lines of unexpected joy fires the synapses in the brain 4 times more than anything you could ever expect to have happen.
Right.
Right? So if you know that and you wake up in the morning and go, I wonder what joy's coming today.
Yeah.
I can't wait to look around and
yeah.
get curious and use my imagination and
mm-hmm.
see what it is, then you're actually firing on more cylinders inside your physical body.
And to those people that are suffering, like, I have to offer the only thing that really helped me and worked for me, which is to help another person. It really is. It goes back to that very basic Kabbalah teaching for me. Like, in order to get out of my woe is me, my life is terrible, this is awful, just help somebody else. And it will get you out of that self-pity cycle that is so unbelievably detrimental to, you know, yourself, to the world. And, you know, my friend told me, like, I'm having a horrible day. I dropped my iPhone and it shattered and someone broke into my car. And I'm like, there are people on the planet that do not have iPhones and do not have cars to shatter and get broken into. Like, it's always, like, keep perspective in where you are and... yeah, help somebody else. Like, go volunteer. Do charity work. Charity work is my favorite thing to do. I love charity work. And right now I'm doing the AIDS life cycle for the LGBT Center in LA. And I'm biking 545 miles from San Francisco to LA. I'm training for that. And I know where the money's going. And it's going to help so many people. And I've visited them, and I've seen the Homeless Gay Youth Center in LA and the Homeless Gay Senior Citizen Center, which is being built. And I've been there, and I've volunteered, and I've spoken to those kids. And it just puts everything into perspective and gets you out of your self-pity loop.
Mm.
Get out there and help.
Get out of the self-pity loop.
Yeah.
So it's almost like if you find yourself in that self-pity loop, first thing you can do is reach out and help someone else.
Yes.
And then from that place of realizing you have something to give,
mm-hmm.
right? You're like, oh, I actually have things because I have something here I can give.
Do it.
Right? More comes to you because now you've realized you are that place of abundance, right?
Mm. Yes.
It's like we talk about being the dominant hand of the universe. So like if you were going to brush your teeth or put on your eyeliner, your dominant hand would do that because that's the hand that has like the most mastery, the most practice. That's the hand that has done it the most times in the past. So if you need the job done, you're going to rely on that hand. So when it comes to giving, can you be the dominant hand of the light?
Mm-hmm.
Where if the light needs something given, it's like you're always available to give, right?
Yep.
And so from that place, it's like there's always just so much available because you're always so open to giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons we wanted to call this the Joy Garden.
Joy Garden.
Is we got really interested, too, in the idea of planting joy seeds.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea that joy is all around us,
mm-hmm.
and at any moment... there is the ability to, like, put that joy seed in the ground. And what comes out of that is really exciting.
Yep.
Like, joy being the way. Joy being the path that we take.
Yes.
And it's really, like, examples of joy seeds. Like, I went to the pharmacy the other night, and this woman had this beautiful name tag that was, like, an African name. And I said, oh, like, how do you say your name? It's like this. What does it mean? Beautiful. I'm like, of course that's your name because you're so beautiful. And like, she was like, her day was made. That's just a little joy seed. And it was so easy. And you can do it all day everywhere you go.
That's right.
You know, we do it in dance class. You do it with your barista.
Mm-hmm.
You walk down the street. You smile at someone.
Yes.
It's simple, simple, simple. But you can drop those little seeds all over the freaking planet.
Yes. Yep.
Give a wink, give a kiss, spread a little happiness, like. Yes. This is my sister's first single ever.
Ah!
She will be so, like, it's pre Ariana Grande. It was like fetus Ariana. And it's called Put Your Hearts Up. And literally that's one of the lines. Like, just give a wink, give a kiss, spread a little happiness, and everything was fine. Like, you know, you'll spread joy in that little tiny way.
That's what I feel like your social media is for me.
Yeah.
Like when I
like
see
a little
you,
flower.
Like when I see you on Instagram, like you're I think you're one of the few people who use emoticons as much as I do.
Yes,
right?
I do.
And we use a lot of the same ones.
Yep, of course.
But it's like I can feel the light and the love and the joy coming off of you living your life.
Because it's coming from pure intention.
Yes, real. Pure intention.
Yeah.
And I have to mention my friend Jewel. She she says in her songs and her lyrics and her poetry that she writes that we are farmers of light. So like the light is there like waiting to be unearthed by us. And I think it's such a beautiful concept also. Like
farmers of light.
Farmers
in the garden
of light.
Of joy.
Yes.
Farmers of light in
the
garden
of
joy.
So like we are planting those seeds for other people to unearth.
Wow.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And that is the reciprocal nature of the universe.
Yes.
That's where the giving and receiving is, friends.
Yep.
Oh,
so
that is deep.
Yeah.
So if we can just all remind ourselves to get out of that mindset of what don't I have or what am I trying to get and say,
yes.
I am a farmer of light in the garden of joy.
Amen.
That's my new hashtag.
Yes. By the way, that's all I'm going to hashtag.
We're tweeting that right
picture.
Now. We're tweeting that right now.
Wait, we should do one right now, and we're going to say...
We're going to do a picture.
We're going to say
doing
we are
it.
Farmer
I'm tweeting it right now.
In the garden of
joy.
You guys move fast.
Listen, there is
no time
to wait.
At the speed of light. That's how fast we move. Yep, the selfie is happening.
Come on, farmers.
Okay. So I'm tweeting. Yes, farmers of light in the garden of
all
joy.
All the things are
it's
happening.
So good.
Wait, my favorite thing in the whole world is the Frankie Grande selfie face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because when I was out with him, like a gazillion people stopped and said,
Oh.
Let's all do the lips.
Yeah,
oh.
you have to part the go. So you're like pursing your lips and you have to angle your neck forward and it actually does hurt my vertebrae in my neck. But there's absolutely no option.
You'll do anything for beauty.
And like kind of, I love
that we're getting training because we're not quite nailing it, but
there's
still joy.
Well, I call it the lip hail.
Oh.
So,
my
gosh, it looks like.
You are so much better. That's the two of us. We're trying so hard. Look at this one.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
One.
I nailed it.
That's the
lip hail. So
Friends,
like,
can we do one more and see
yes.
if we can get it? You like to leave a little bit of space.
Just a little space.
A little space.
Yeah, so it's
okay.
Like it's like you're inhaling, but you're also putting your lips out. So you're inhaling like through a straw, but you're also putting your lips out. So it's like this.
That was so bad.
I
actually know I look
that's
horrible.
That's actually worse. The more we think about it, the worse it gets.
I'm posting all... Oh my god. So bad. I'm posting all three.
Friends.
Wow.
Friends.
That was a garden of joy.
That was a garden of joy. So you all just witnessed us planting a little seed in the garden of our joy. So now you get to go out into the world and plant your own seeds.
Oh my god, I love this so
I
much.
Have so much more practice to do before
so
I ever get
practice.
That pucker right.
So much more.
What emoji shall we use as the farm?
Is there a little,
I want it to be like, I like wheat. Perfect, we have wheat.
We have wheat!
Farmers of light in the garden of joy, look how pretty.
By the way, if there is someone who's listening who's like, I must follow Frankie,
how
at
do we
Frank,
find you?
It's at Frankie J. Grande everywhere, which is amazing.
Man.
YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. I said YouTube?
All the places.
Frankie J. Grande.
Frankie,
that was really fun.
Frankie,
I'm feeling the joy.
You.
It's flowing forth.
It's flowing. See,
from
you
me.
Don't need drugs.
No, we don't.
We are so high
We're
already.
So high.
Yes, exactly. Amen.
We
Amen.
Love you, and
thank
I,
you.
I just can't wait to put on more glitter.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Do I have it?
It's time.
Of
course I have
time. So friends, please go check out Frankie on all of his social media and all of his beautiful music and all of his creations in the world. We can't wait to support you
in all
the joy that you bring and all of the art that you make. And thank you for listening to this beautiful Create podcast.
This is awesome.
It's so awesome. We
I
have
love
the most
this.
Fun.
So much.
So much. We are going to Denver.
We are
going to be teaching in Denver Saturday, May the 5th at the Arvada Center for the Arts and Humanities.
And guess what
cool.
I learned? That's actually the name of the city, and it's right outside of Denver. It's like...
Right, I keep saying it's in Denver, but it's just around
the
corner. It's just
like, it's
like
a
like
week.
Arvada.
It's like
right.
a little pucker kiss away.
That's right. So we're going to be there.
Denver.
So if you are... There's the glitter. So if you're listening from somewhere that's close by there, come and hang out with us. We have limited spaces, but we do have a few spaces left. That's
May 5th.
May 5th at the Arvada Center.
That looks like... That's great.
Oh,
also,
there's so much sparkle.
Oh,
yeah,
oh by
so
the way, and it's all going on my face.
Yeah.
Oh, Frankie, this is something you're going to be interested in.
What?
The next pleasure retreat.
Ooh.
We do pleasure retreat.
With Kristen, John DeVisi, and moi is going to be in, are you ready for it?
Yes.
Italy!
Wow.
We are going to Rome, Italy, friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you are interested.
Frankie, you're welcome to join us.
I'm coming.
Yeah,
yay!
Come.
And I'm bringing
Bring
Jeff
the glitter.
Goldblum.
And I'm bringing Robert Redford.
Yes.
So,
I'm going to be a voyeur and be excited about it.
if you guys want to come and study pleasure with us, learn how to activate your pleasure centers And that also taps into your power centers.
Yes, yeah,
so when we learn how to open in our pleasure, we open all facets of our life.
So that is going to be early September, so stay tuned for that. Now, we have one more huge announcement.
Ooh.
We are starting
oh!
a new fun thing. I'm not up on social media to know what we call it. A campaign?
Sure. Is it a Kickstarter?
No. We're starting a hashtag called 100 Days of Joy.
Oh.
And we, friends, would like all of you listening to hashtag every day 100 days of joy of how you are planting seeds of joy in the world.
Oh, I love that.
So we're doing it for 100 days.
Yeah, that's a campaign.
And it starts as soon as this podcast drops.
Work!
Yes. Day one is as soon as this podcast drops. So you can come to the Create Community Facebook page. You can check out the Create Play Group at the Create Play Group on Insta and Twitter. Or Hangy Love is Kristen. Mm-hmm. Or Miss Natalie Roy is me on the Insta. Or Frankie J. Grande. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play 100 Days of Joy.
I love
yes.
that.
And so you can take pictures. You can tell us what you're doing. You can tell us where you're dropping your seeds. And we can't wait to spread this light as a community together.
Woo-hoo! Woo! I love this.
Life is for motherfucking joy.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!